Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verses 4 through 12. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand and fix them as an emblem on your forehead and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord has brought you into the land that he swore to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, a land with fine, large cities that you did not build, houses filled with all sorts of goods that you did not fill, hewn cisterns that you did not hew, vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. And when you have eaten your fill, take care that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. The Lord always blesses the reading of the Holy Scripture. Whenever Jay and I go on a trip together, it's very clear that we have two entirely different approaches in how we travel. I focus on all of the things that could go wrong, probably because I've been on so many trips where so many things went wrong. I've missed flights. I've had to change routes across country at the last minute because of snowstorms. I've had tents blow over in the middle of the night, gotten caught away from home without shoes or shirts or jackets or medicine. And I don't believe that people should suffer by making the same ignorant mistake over and over. So I'm very conservative and very thorough in how I plan for trips. Jay gets aggravated with me with the way that I plan. She says I'm no fun and that I worry too much. She has a very different approach to traveling. And after being married to her now for more than 13 years, I have no idea what that approach is. It just changes. And any of you know Jay would know that that's the truth. Now, I mention this because when we read Deuteronomy, we are reading a story about a huge group of people who are on a trip. They are traveling together away from Egypt through a vast wilderness toward a promised land. And the troubles that Jay and I have when we travel are nothing compared to the troubles that Moses and all the Israelites had as they were traveling through that wilderness together. That trip is the story that occupies the first six books of the Bible. The book of Genesis, we see, gives us the beginning of that trip. It starts way up in Mesopotamia with Abraham. And there are just a few people with Abraham, just a few family members, not even all of his family goes with him. And he begins the trip up there. He travels west and he travels south and he comes to the Jordan Valley and they meander. They're nomads. They're in that area. And as he travels, he has children and his children have children and the family begins to grow and they become a small clan. And then the journey continues. It moves down into Egypt because there's a famine in the area of the Jordan Valley. And so they must go to Egypt. And they go down there as a small clan and they stay there many years. They stay there so many years that they grow from a clan into a nation. And while they are there, they are enslaved by the Pharaoh and by the Egyptians. While they are there, their lives become more and more miserable, but their population keeps growing. And they move from a small nation to a not-so-small nation while they are there. But as the oppression and the misery down in Egypt continues and they're stuck there, the journey is not moving. It's too long of a layover in Egypt. It goes on for centuries. And God finally decides that their misery has gone on too long and they've been in Egypt too long. And so by the hand of God, the chains of slavery are broken and the journey resumes again, this time east and north through the wilderness. And on the journey out of Egypt, on the journey toward the promised land, everything that can possibly go wrong on a trip does go wrong on that one. And everything that people can do to aggravate each other, if you think you've ever been on a trip where people got on each other's nerves, anything that people could do to get on each other's nerves happens on that journey. And the book of Deuteronomy gives us just a small part of that trip. It's almost at the end. They've been out in the wilderness for 40 years. And they're ready now to move the last leg of the journey across the Jordan River and into the Promised Land. And that's where the book of Deuteronomy takes place. The 40 years is now behind them. They're ready now to cross the river. And the entire book of Deuteronomy is basically, except for the last few verses, the entire book of Deuteronomy is a speech that Moses gives to the people, preparing them now to make this last trip of this long journey into the Promised Land, where they will begin a new type of journey as permanent residents there. And it is in this speech that Moses gives that he looks back and reminds them where they've been. Particularly, he goes over what all has happened this past 40 years since we left Egypt out here in the wilderness. He goes over that. And then he gets very specific about the things that are ahead for them and the choices that they will make that will determine whether the days ahead are going to be good or whether they're going to be trouble. So when we read Deuteronomy, the book can basically be divided into three parts. The first part is Moses telling the history of the people and their time in the wilderness. He goes over what happened. From the time we left Egypt, all these years, here are things that went right, here are the things that went wrong. He tells the story of the people. And there are so many stories, and we've covered those stories. In fact, Deuteronomy has very little that's new. There are only a few parts of Deuteronomy that we haven't read before. The historical part where Moses tells the story, we've already read most of that in Exodus and in Numbers. And so that's the first section, a review of what all has happened, the story of the wilderness. The second section of Deuteronomy is where Moses begins to talk about the laws and the commandments that people need to follow. God has given them these commandments and laws. If they don't follow them, there will be bad consequences. And if they do follow them, they will be able to experience the joys and the promises of this new place where they're going. So, again, we've already come across most of these laws. There's very little new in the way of law in Deuteronomy. We covered most of them when we read the book of Leviticus. Deuteronomy simply rephrases a few of them, refines a few of them. There are a couple new things that are thrown in, but very little new at this point. So that's the second part of Deuteronomy, is the law. First part, the history. Second part, the laws that they're to follow. And then the third part tells us of the last days of Moses. And Moses gives a blessing to the people in this third part of Deuteronomy. He gives curses. He reminds them of the good things that are ahead for them. And then he dies. And that's the third part of the book of Deuteronomy. That third part is the most original. It's the part we haven't read before in the earlier books. The end of Deuteronomy reminds us that at this point, Moses is 120 years old. And he's complaining about how he feels. He says he just doesn't have the get up and go like he used to have at 120. But before you feel too sorry for him, though, he's still going to be able to do mountain climbing at this age, because at the age of 120, he's still going to climb up to Mount Pisgah so that he can get a good glimpse of the Promised Land. The thing about Moses, and it's always been fascinating to me, is that he's not going to be able to go to the Promised Land himself. even though he's made all these sacrifices, even though he's led the people, even though he's put up with all this stuff, he himself is not going to be able to go there. And I remember when I was younger and reading that, I thought, well, how, you know, I don't think that's fair of God to not let Moses, after all he did, that God wouldn't let Moses go into the promised land. And there are some stories, they're conflicting stories about why, but basically Moses blew his stack on a couple occasions because the people aggravated him. And the scripture is very clear, they were an incredibly stubborn people, but once in a while Moses lost his cool with them, and so God's not going to let Moses go into the promised land for just a couple of these incidents. So, now, once I became a pastor, I began to see the story in a little different way. I began to think that Moses, instead of punishing Moses, maybe God was being merciful to him to give him a break. Because if we read on in the Old Testament, I'm pretty sure Moses was glad not to have to see the things that happened once the people did get into the promised land. You know, sometimes it's like a family will say, you know, tragedy will happen in a family, and we'll say, well, I'm just glad Grandpa wasn't here to have to see all of this. And so there's a part, as I'm reading on in the Old Testament, while at first I'm outraged that Moses doesn't get to go with the people, I keep thinking to myself, well, I'm kind of glad Moses didn't have to see that happen, because everything that happened after that, they were going against the kinds of things that he had given them and taught them here in the book of Deuteronomy. It's amazing as we read about the death of Moses. He climbs up to Mount Pisgah and he looks out, and the Lord does let him see the promised land. He gets to set eyes on it. He'd never seen that before. He'd been talking about it, but it was the first time Moses ever got to see it. And then while he's up on the top of Mount Pisgah, the Lord takes him. And the scripture of Deuteronomy says this in the 34th chapter. It says that up until the very moment of Moses' death, his eyes were undimmed and his virility unabated. 120 years old, and yet his eyes were undimmed and his virility was unabated. We get the feeling that God let him die happy in his sleep. Now, a key message of Deuteronomy is this. As the Israelites are continuing their journey toward the promised land and then their life's journey in the promised land, the key message of Deuteronomy is there are two things they need to keep in mind. One is they need to remember that they would have nothing if it wasn't for God. First message, remember God. Remember all the things that God has done for you. Write it down. Write it on your hand. Write it on your wrist. Write it on your clothes. Write it on your doorpost. Write it on your forehead. Tell it to your children so that they can tell you back in case you ever forget. Tell your children over and over and over. Tell them all the things that God has done. Don't ever forget that we would have nothing if it wasn't for the hand of God. So that's a key fundamental message in Deuteronomy. The other key message of Deuteronomy is obey God's commands or everything that you have will be lost. The future depends on our being able to follow the laws. Even though the laws of Deuteronomy are laws that we mostly have seen before, particularly in Leviticus, it's important that we recognize that many of these laws are surprisingly humane and obviously applicable in our own time. In Deuteronomy, for example, we find laws that restrict the power of the king or the government. It's in Deuteronomy that we find laws about treating immigrants with dignity. In Deuteronomy, we find laws about caring for animals. Deuteronomy is where we find laws that provide safety nets for the poor, the working poor, the widows, the orphans, and the aged. In Deuteronomy, we find laws against incest and murder and violence to neighbors. In Deuteronomy, there are laws about adult children taking advantage of their aging parents. Now, it is the Old Testament, And so we would not expect that all of the laws would exactly be applicable to us or even understandable to us. Nowadays, for instance, most of us totally disregard the laws in Deuteronomy about which animals we can eat and which animals we can't eat. And almost all of us are surely in violation of the clothing laws in Deuteronomy. I'm sure a number of women would be stopped at the door if Moses were out there with those laws. And anybody today who is wearing anything, if you have more than one type of fabric, you'd be violating the laws of Deuteronomy if you're mixing any fabrics in what you're wearing. And the fact is, the Deuteronomy is a little bit slap-happy with the death penalty. There are a number of places in Deuteronomy where the death penalty is called for, that, and we, most of us, would probably be appalled today about that. The book of Deuteronomy calls for the death penalty for anybody who engages in premarital sex, the death penalty for any couples involved in adultery, the death penalty for mouthing off at your parents, and the death penalty for disobeying the priest. There are other death penalties as well for idolatry and various other sexual sins. So even though there are laws that cause us to raise our eyebrows and figure out, well, what are we going to do with those rules and with those laws, we do have an interesting verse in Deuteronomy where it indicates that Moses is giving these laws specifically for the people at that time as they are entering that land. And that is a reminder to us that when we read the rules of the Bible, some of them are specific to specific times and places. And it is together as a church that we talk about that. We can't just choose individually which rules that we want to follow and which rules we don't want to. It's not up to us individually, but it's up to the community to discern together what it is that God wants us to know and do in these days ahead. The book of Deuteronomy is a solid book. It is a book that is often quoted by Jesus. And when we read the letters of Paul, we can see that Paul was informed in very positive and good ways by the things that Deuteronomy says. When Jesus was asked on one occasion, what is the greatest of the commandments? He quotes Deuteronomy 6:5. To love the Lord your God with all of your heart and soul and might. So, as we're reading through each of these books, one of the questions that I'm asking is, what's the bad news in the book? And what's the good news in the book? So, the bad news of Deuteronomy. The bad news is this. There are so many ways we can make a bad choice. There are so many decisions, and there are so many roads that are the wrong road. There are so many things that would be the foolish choice. And the trouble for many of us is that sometimes a foolish choice doesn't look like a foolish choice at first. Sometimes it looks like our preferred choice, or our brain somehow figures out a way to calculate that a bad choice would actually be a good one. We're very good at fooling ourselves. And the book of Deuteronomy is filled with this bad news that there are all sorts of bad choices that we can make. And sometimes the bad choices that we make are choices about things that we choose to do. For example, a person who has power in an organization or an institution or a family, it might seem like a good idea at the time to that person who's the top dog to take personal advantage of the position and the power and make a little money off of it or lord it over other people, make a lot of money off of it. But according to Deuteronomy, that would be a bad choice for a ruler to do that. According to Deuteronomy, it is a bad choice to treat other people dishonorably and to fail to respect people, even if we think we have reasons to. According to Deuteronomy, there are so many bad choices that can be made and so much destruction that would ensue from them. It might seem, in Deuteronomy, like it's a good choice to just get on with our lives and not worry that much about people who are struggling or people who are poor, to just ignore them, focus on ourselves instead, put ourselves first. According to Deuteronomy, that would be a bad choice, to not find ways to adjust how we live and be generous and caring and hands-on with the poor. According to the way we look at things, it might seem like a good choice to not rock the boat, to just kind of stay where we are, to do what we do. But according to the things that Moses says in the book of Deuteronomy, to stay where we are is often the bad choice. Moses says this. He relays the word of God to the people. It's at the beginning of the book of Deuteronomy. They've been in the wilderness and they're not moving. They've been where they are, where they've been for a while. And the word of the Lord comes through Moses saying this: you have stayed at this place long enough. It's time to resume your journey. The fundamental message behind that thought in Deuteronomy is that where we are now is not the destination that God gave us at the start of this journey. This is not the promised land. There are good things about it. There are things we love and things with which we've grown comfortable, but this isn't it. And so the book of Deuteronomy is fundamentally a book that says we need to keep moving toward what God has promised. And it's not this. It's not this place. It's not the way things are at the moment. And so what seems to be a wise choice or a good choice to just not go to all that trouble and face all the challenges is actually a bad choice. So the bad news is that there are too many possible bad choices. The good news of Deuteronomy is this: that God gives us stories and laws that will help us avoid the bad choices and make good ones. That's what the stories and the laws are there for. The laws that are there, the stories there, remind us of what happened in the past, and we have a saying that those who are ignorant of history are bound to repeat the mistakes of the past. And so the stories are there in Deuteronomy to help us continue to go back and remember things. And the laws are there to help us avoid the bad choices and make good ones. When I work with youth groups in a church, by and large, I'm pretty lenient, easygoing. I don't push the kids a whole lot. We're going to do what we said we were going to do on a trip or at an event and so forth. But if I notice that we're coming to a danger zone, maybe there's going to be physical danger for the kids, or maybe there's some social danger because of the way people start treating each other and talking to each other. If I notice that we're coming into a danger zone of any sort with the kids, I become bossy real fast. And I give a lot of rules and bark a lot of orders. And I expect nobody's going to mess with me at that point. And I'm not there to harass the kids. It's just that if we're in a tight place, we all need to be on the same page. And we need to be working together and pulling together in the same direction. And that's exactly what's going on in the book of Deuteronomy. People have been in the wilderness for almost 40 years and they're getting ready to move into the promised land. And it's a delicate time for people. It's always a delicate time when you're out there in the wilderness and you're not yet where you need to go. And so Moses is strict, and these laws are not given to harass the people. They're the good news. They're given to help people, to guide them through the tight place where they are at the moment and know how they should treat each other and how they should put God at the center of their lives. The good news is that there are rules in Deuteronomy for us relating to idolatry, the Sabbath, festivals, justice, to teaching our children, that have an eternal application. And we can find them very helpful today as we consider where we are at the moment and what God wants us to do next. The good news and the bad news of Deuteronomy. And with each of these sermons, I'm finishing with some practicalities. Very quickly, three things from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy says, tell the story over and over, follow the rules, and get going. Those three things. Tell the stories over and over, follow the rules, and get going. The book of Deuteronomy is about coming together as one people. And that was a big problem in the Old Testament. People kept splitting. They kept finding reasons to have factions among themselves. And the way that people come together is not how you see on Fox News, CNN, or MSNBC, where you get people and they just argue and beat at each other. The way you bring a people together is you remember your story. If we want to be one church, this church started in the 1850s. If we want to be one church, we remember the story. Not everything has been perfect in this church. We've been through many dangers, toils and trials and snares over the years. But there's a story of God's grace that goes through all of that. If we want to be one nation, we don't start with the issues that divide us and see if we can beat up the other side. We remember the story. We go back to the history of our country and the trials that have been faced perennially through the years and the spirit, the wonderful spirit of the country that helped bring people together and work together through those times. The book of Deuteronomy, this is very practical advice. When we find ourselves strained, we go back to our story, the fundamentals of where we've been and how God has blessed us. And from that, we understand better how to be together as we move forward. Remember the story, follow the laws, get going. From the book of Deuteronomy, we have these graces and these gifts of God.